Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
What's up, everyone? You are in the back seat again, episode number 989. This train keeps rolling. I'm losing count. I got to stop doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. We're packed this week. Absolutely packed. We got a statistician, Tom Ganka, coming on the line later to talk a little NBA with us. Plenty to go around there. We're going to talk about Cam Newton being Cam. And we're starting it off with baseball talk. Hot stove, winter meetings. James is excited. Albert Pujols, huge, huge, huge contract. What do you think about that?
What do I think about Albert Pujols' contract?
Yeah, yeah. I can't blame him. I mean, you know.
It's, no, wait.
He's the best player
in
baseball,
right? You can't
blame
him. I mean, what is there to blame?
No, well, look, the Angels haven't been the epicenter of baseball success.
I don't blame anybody for that. I right. think that that's a perfectly fine. Nobody's going to. I don't think that that's one of those contracts where anybody lost out or like overpaid. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, that's a lot of money, but mm-hmm. Albert Pujols was going to get a lot of money from somebody, and the Angels wanted to make a splash because it turns out they're falling behind in a division that they used
Texas.
To dominate,
right.
and they needed the firepower, and
right.
they got C.J. Wilson in the same day, spent $77 million on him. And
worst week to get a $77 million contract.
Well, you know, I read that, and this is not scientific, but I read that he spent more money on that day than he bought the franchise for. Can you believe that?
Capitalism.
Yeah, look, yeah, take that 1%, or no, 99%, that's capitalism.
No, that's good. That's, you know, an American success story.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's Albert, right. Albert Pujols. It's
look,
an American success story.
Well, so is the owner of the Angels. I mean,
American success story. It's a Dominican. Where is he from?
No, that is an American success story. He's living the American dream.
Here's the success story. You be 41, say you're 31, and get $254 million for 10 years.
Well, look, my angle on this the big deal that the Pujols got, $254 million, right? 10 years, $254.
Yeah, something like that.
Look, once it gets over $100 million, I think all of us 99%ers just start saying 11D trillion and things like it just does it's Scarface money.
All right, okay. So I was looking into this deal, right? Because that's a lot of money over 10 years.
Yeah,
I think it's actually like spread over 20 years, and he's gonna be like a consultant or something. Is what his position is going to be?
I heard that too.
Do you really want the machine being a consultant for your team? Like, is he qualified to do that? This is like that conversation we had a couple weeks ago. Like, just because you played and you were good doesn't mean you're qualified to analyze
yes,
talent and
yes.
say other people are good.
John
How
Elway,
do they know
Wayne
this is
Gretzky,
work?
Those guys.
And he's already iconic in St. Louis. So can he really be iconic in two places?
Listen,
like, unless they win like 5 World Series in a row, everyone forgets that he played for St. Louis. That's just not going to happen.
I'm glad that you mentioned iconic because a friend of ours that, you know, emails the show and all that, he was talking to me this week about the Pujols deal because, you know, the Marlins were also in the running after they got Jose Reyes for Pujols. And he's a Marlins fan, this friend of ours. And he said, you know, I love it when guys
is he
stay.
He's from Miami, right?
Yes. And
is he from the same Miami that the Eagles just went down and smacked the Dolphins around this past weekend a little bit?
That's 5-8 trash talk right there.
Is it that Miami?
Yeah, it's that town.
I just want to make sure that we were talking about the same Miami.
No, not the Miami of Ohio. No, yeah, I don't want to confuse
anybody.
Okay,
we're talking about the Miami Dolphins team that turned the ball over about 4 times.
Right.
Gave up a safety,
yes.
gave up 9 sacks.
Yes. The Miami of Ohio and the Miami of Florida are very similar cultures, very similar demographics. People get confused.
Now, this is the Miami team that had J.P. Lossman at quarterback.
All right.
That he looked like he was confused about how to complete a forward pass. This is the same Miami Dolphins team.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
We can move on.
All right, what? And he said, you know, I like it when star athletes, when all-timers stay in the same city or play for the same team their whole career. And he said, you look back at some of these Hall of Fame athletes we grew up watching, the Michael Jordans and the Joe Montana, for the most part, Joe Montana.
The Tim Tebows.
One day. Those kind of guys, they usually stay in the same spot for most of their career. And
this is what I was saying all along. Look. This is what I was saying. I was saying that Roger Goodell should have immediately moved the Jacksonville Jaguars to Gainesville, Florida, had them draft Tim Tebow, and he could have just stayed there his whole career. This is what I was lobbying for this.
Right.
I started a political action committee.
And you were not at various levels of sobriety, as you say, during that lobby.
Look,
listen,
I am right now.
All right. If you're Albert Pujols now, and I want to ask you a question just to see how close you may agree with this kind of assessment.
Okay.
Let me just say, for example, like you love soccer. Okay. We both love, you love keeping up with the European League, specifically the Premier League. Let's just pretend that Europe just had one big soccer league, like all across, you know, the entire continent. And let's say you are a very good soccer player. You're like the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you play for a team in Sweden that typically is very good. Okay. And wins championships. And you're an Albert Pujols situation. You've won a couple championships, all right, for this soccer team in Sweden. You've done everything you can do. You've won an MVP. You've won championships. And really, I mean, there's no challenges left for you there. And then, so you've been in the league for 10 years. And then the team from London, okay, mm-hmm. your contract is up. The team from London, who, let's just imagine that no soccer team from London has done anything, they come calling and they say,
haven't.
They say, stop. They say, $250 million contract, 10 years. Look, come here, spend the rest of your career here in London, move away from Sweden,
yeah,
where it's not ideal to live. Do you take that?
Yeah.
Why? Because you want to go live in London? You've already done everything you can do as a soccer player?
Yeah, but it's a better deal, right?
Okay, financially, sure, but he's already got a lot of money. I told our friend.
Yeah, but, okay. But just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that you don't want to take the best deal you can.
Listen, you said icon, right?
Yeah.
I think Albert Pujols, and wait, what did we say? He's Dominican.
I don't know.
I don't want to sound like a total jerk here.
Well, you're too late.
He is not American.
Okay.
Okay. He is from Latin America. I'm going to, just really broad here. I'm going to try not to get anything wrong. So, look.
Why don't you Google it? You're in front of a computer.
I could. I like watching our waveform instead. He plays in St. Louis. He's done everything you can do as a baseball player. Why not go move to L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where that is a place, a community where the sky is the limit for you as far as being a star, as far as like the Latin American community in that city, as far as being an icon. What else do you want to do in St. Louis?
You don't want to do championships. Anything in St. Louis.
So as far as the Marlins being in the running and the
by
Angels.
The way. He is from the Dominican Republic.
I'm glad.
I Googled
it. I'm glad
it.
We figured that out.
I'm all about the facts.
You know, Google.
And I had to get them.
You just always get. It's weird. It's like it's a search engine.
I have a drive.
Okay.
To be right and be factual, and I had to look that up.
I feel like Albert Pujols, at this point in his career, at this point in his life, thinks, you know what? I could go live in L.A.
I don't want to analyze this because
I could go live.
I think
Hollywood.
It was like pretty much like these guys are going to be $254 million. They're pretty good. I'd rather go there than Miami.
Yeah. Well.
Miami's crappy. And no, listen to this. Like Miami is so like Miami's annoying because like they had to have this little stipulation. Like they wanted him to have a no trade clause so he could be traded after like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't show a commitment to the player. They're like, yeah, we will trade you after 4 years.
Yeah,
so,
right. No, that's
look. I need you to have this because we might not be solvent in 4 years and we might have to trade you.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. No, that's not.
It's the truth.
That's not.
You're gonna go to Angels.
Listen, that would be like a kid who is a senior in high school visiting a college.
Yeah.
And the dean, like, let's just say you get to talk to the dean when you visit, and him saying, "Well, listen, we're not sure about our accreditation in the next 2 years."
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and come here. It's gonna be fun. I promise.
Look,
but
I think people are looking too much into this. This is what I think actually happened, and we'll never know. But here's my take, right? So Miami comes out and they're like, yeah, we're going to give you $275 million, but you're not allowed to have a no trade clause so we can get rid of you. He's like, eh. The Cardinals are like, yes, we'll sign you for 8 years, $110 million. He's like, what the heck? That's not fair. And then finally the Angels are like, yeah, we'll give you 10 years. You can have a no trade clause and $254 million. He's like, that's the best deal. I get to go live in LA. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And they're obviously spending money on all kinds of players because they just, spent all that money on CJ Wilson.
Okay, listen. Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
tested positive.
Look, man.
For PEDs.
I don't want to jump to conclusions because
okay.
If I knew Ryan Braun, like, he'd be my boy. So I don't want right. to, I don't know him.
But
he seems like a really cool guy and yeah. doesn't seem like a dude that would do steroids.
Well, Manny Ramirez seems like a pretty cool guy too.
No, but Manny Ramirez rose to fame in the steroid era.
All right.
So when he did it, you're like, yeah, that's just Manny being Manny, taking shots of steroids in the butt. That's just Manny.
All right.
Let's sign him.
Listen, Ryan Braun, I heard something pretty interesting last night, the night before, a good statistic. No one has ever successfully appealed a positive PED test in baseball.
I also read that.
That kind of says it all.
Well, there's conflicting reports, and this is why I don't want to get too in-depth about the consequences of this, because basically it looks like he failed the test during the playoffs, and it was for an increased testosterone
right.
level in his blood. And then they did a second test and said that it wasn't naturally made.
Right. Right.
So I want to know what it is.
Well, okay. And you're right. We should wait until, you know, this appeal goes through and all these facts come out. But like I said, no one's ever there's a reason no one's ever successfully appealed these things.
How do you appeal that crap?
Exactly.
It was in your bloodstream or it wasn't.
Look,
you either
these yeah. guys that have taken steroids in baseball specifically, because there's a lot of them. You remember when the I'm drawing up like the Mitchell report, that what was that called? The commission that Congress participated in with the. With all those players, the names of all those players that allegedly...
Mitchell Commission.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So when that came out, I mean, it was just depressing if you were a baseball fan because there were so many of them.
Yeah.
But anyone who's still taking steroids, it's borderline sociopathic behavior, because if you take steroids now in baseball, you actually have to tell yourself that you're not going to get caught, which at this point is stupid to think that it's possible to not get caught anymore. They test you.
Yeah.
It's that simple. They're testing. They're increasing the amount of testing they're doing. Just don't do it. And there's a quote from him that said, I'm not going to take steroids because it'd be too obvious. Because if I did, I would hit 60 or 70 home runs.
I know. It wasn't steroids. It wasn't steroids.
No, though. Right.
Who knows what it was? Who knows what it was? Let's let the facts come out.
Right. Well, and you said earlier off the air, you said, you know, look, I really want this to not be true. And I don't blame you for feeling
that way.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't want it to be true because I like him. You know what? You know what really ticks me off, though?
What?
That Albert Pujols is only 5 years older than me. Is that a joke? Like, are we joking around right now? He's 5 years older than me? Look at that guy's picture. Google his picture, okay? And then look at me and go between the two. And you tell me that guy's only 5 years older than me.
I am not the machine. Yeah. 5 years, huh? What's he, 31?
Yes. Yes. He's 31.
Well, 41 when the contract runs up, and then he's going to be a consultant?
Yeah. He'll be a consultant when he's 41.
Yeah. He's going to be a one percenter.
Well,
he
you know
is
what they
a one
say.
Percenter.
41's the new 31.
Yeah. And Safari is the new Serengeti. More on that later. All right, listen, coming up next in the Backseat Sports Podcast, we're going to talk to a great guy, Tom Genka. He's a statistician, smart guy, friend of ours, and it was a dramatic week in the NBA, and he's going to give us some input. You don't want to miss it. Next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
If you've got questions, comments, or maybe even some insults, email Zach and James at backseatsports@gmail.com or reach them on Twitter at @backseat_sports.
That's on Twitter at @backseat_sports.
All right, you're still in the Backseat Sports Podcast. Again, I'm Zach Diodati and my co-host James Troiano. We have the pleasure of having a guest with us on the phone for this episode of the Backseat Sports Podcast. He's Tom Genka, and James, what did you call him? A statistician?
He's a NBA outsider. So far outside, he's actually back inside, and he's actually a statistician. So he's a pretty smart guy. He's very knowledgeable about the NBA, and we're going to ask him a couple questions because there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened this weekend.
Yeah, for our listeners who haven't heard, the NBA lockout was solved.
Yes.
Not sure if that's made it to everyone, and there's been a little bit of drama. A little bit.
A few things, especially in nearby New Orleans, and there's been some exciting stuff. Tom, we'll just get right into it with you, man. What's going on with CP3? Obviously, the deal was nixed with the Lakers. I've heard the Clippers. I've heard a few things. I've heard a lot of teams want them. What's going on with that?
Well, it looks like right now with Chris Paul, as you know, the so-called deal to the Lakers for Gasol going to the Houston Rockets and Bynum. Actually, not Bynum.
Odom.
Odom, yeah. Odom going over to the Hornets and a bunch of draft picks and everything. That all fell through. And so they revisited it, and it turns out that the Lakers just decided there's no way. This is too much, because as it turns out, the Hornets are owned by the NBA. David Stern, all the owners, they're a part of any transaction involved with them. So everyone kind of got the feeling, because of a couple leaked emails by Dan Gilbert and such, that the owners weren't really happy about Chris Paul going to the Lakers. So now it looks like the rumors are that Clippers are in front right now. And the only way the Clippers are getting Chris Paul is if they give up Eric Gordon at Minnesota's unprotected first-round draft pick. And that's just saying there's no restrictions to their next year's draft pick for Minnesota, and probably some other pieces like Chris Kaman and stuff. I don't think that the Clippers will do that. I think that's way too much to give up. And even though it's Chris Paul, I mean, Chris Paul throwing lobs to Blake Griffin would be insane. You know, I think that
I agree with that. Yeah.
I think they have to find a way to get Chris Paul. I mean, the Clippers have not been relevant since ever. They've never been relevant. So if they got Chris Paul, they'd be relevant. I think they find a way to do it. I think they got to give up Gordon or that draft pick, and somehow I think they just got to honestly bite the bullet and give up both of them and get them. And I think that eventually they will. But if they don't, if they decide to balk on it, because I mean, Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, has had multiple, you know, lapses as far as making questionable decisions. Then I think that brings back the Celtics, that brings back the Warriors, that brings back all those teams that say that, you know, we don't mind if Chris Paul doesn't sign an extension, because the issue here at hand is pretty much, okay, if we're going to give all these assets for Chris Paul and he just leaves at the end of the season, you know, that's not fair for us. Obviously, you don't want to give up guys of, you know, almost all-star caliber talent as Eric Gordon and first-round draft picks for a guy that's just going to leave.
Well, Tom, I you know, whether it's fair or not, it sounds like David Stern is going to catch the blame for ruining the Chris Paul trade to Los Angeles, to the Lakers. And so we wanted to ask you, over the past 8 or 9 months, what has happened to David Stern's reputation? Because we got a great playoff last season in the NBA, and a very entertaining one. And of course, as the commissioner, that makes him, his league looks good and he looks good. Then the lockout ruins about half of the season on the calendar. And then, like I said, he's going to catch the blame for ruining this trade. What has happened to his reputation just in 2011?
I mean, you said it best yourself. I mean, his reputation has completely been tarnished. And, you know, luckily, if there wouldn't have been a season, this would have completely tarnished his reputation. Luckily, they did salvage that. And then all of a sudden, this happens with Chris Paul. I mean, this is unheard of in professional sports. You know, you don't hear of trades like this just getting nixed. And with the NBA, it's a special situation. I mean, the Hornets, they had special circumstances, Katrina, right, all that. You know, they're in the process of finding a seller. So if you look at it on that side, the NBA is saying to itself, we have to make sure we have the best value for this team when we sell it again, because all the owners own part of the team. So
right
now, as far as David Stern's reputation, he's done. I mean, this is it for him. I think Adam Silver has been stepping in. He's even said himself, this is it for me. You know, he's lost all even clout, any clout with any of these new owners that are coming in, with the Dan Gilberts, with the Atlanta Spirit groups, these Michael Jordans. They're coming in and they're completely dictating everything. That's why we completely missed the first couple months of the basketball season, because these owners basically said, we don't care about the first couple of months anyways. I mean, you know, we want to make sure we get the deal we want.
Right.
And David Stern is kind of like, you know, what's kind of meet in the middle, guys? And he's lost it, you know?
Yeah,
he used to have all these older owners like Jerry Buss and all these older guys. They actually, you know, they really work together, and it's just a different time.
Tom, what are you hearing about Dwight Howard?
I got to be honest. I think it's Lakers. I know this Nets thing, it sounds intriguing, and I mean, you know, I mean, this is a strong possibility you can go to the Nets, though. I mean, it's Nets or Lakers. But I don't
watch a lot of basketball that starts at 10 p.m., but if Chris Paul goes to the Clippers and Dwight Howard goes to the Lakers, I'll watch a few Staples Center face-offs.
That's a lot of star power out on the West Coast.
Right.
Tom, a couple quick things before we let you go here. Best trade/signing so far this offseason to date?
I think one of the best values was this David West, Indiana. For,
wow, you know, like they, that, huh?
I think that's great. I mean, he, you know, I mean, it, David West is a strong contributor. They got a really good deal on him. I think it was only a couple deals for $20 million. And, you know, kind of take a little flyer on him. I think the Pacers are really going to take a lot of strides. They just trade for O.J. Mayo, too. So it's looking like they could be one of these up-and-coming Oklahoma City Thunder teams.
What's going on with? Well, first, let me ask you what is the worst?
What's the worst signing so far?
Or is there a worst?
It's hard to say because
it's coming.
Well, you know what? And that's the NBA for you in a nutshell. It's hard to say what the worst is because there's always so many.
All right, let me run through you a couple. I think that DeAndre Jordan he got 40 million or 48 million for 4 years. I think that's way too much. And you know, even Tyson Chandler, I think he got too much. But when it comes down to these centers, these teams know that there's only so many valuable centers. Like, centers are kind of like you got to pay a little bit more for them.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Right. Yeah, there's like three of them. And if you don't have one of the three, you end up with Jason Collins, as we know here in Atlanta. So, yeah,
exactly.
I can understand why you would want to pay a little more for a center. Real quick, I got one more for you. What's going on with this Chauncey Billups thing? I know he's angry that he's being amnestied. I heard that he would hold the team hostage if they attempted to bid on him. What's going on?
It doesn't look like Chauncey's getting... he's going to get bid on. I mean, the same thing happened with Gilbert Arenas, because I mean, if somebody bids on Chauncey and says, I'm just not going to play here. I'm really not. Then they'd have to go through that whole process of, oh God, you know, have to deal with this player. I'm going to show up to camp, any of this stuff. So, it looks like to me with the Knicks, they decide to resurrect the corpse of Mike Bibby, and he will be the starting point guard on the 25th of December.
Yep. Well, looks like we still have the power struggle going on between owners and players. Good stuff, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks
for coming on, bud.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, James. That was great stuff. Great stuff from Tom. And plenty to see still remaining with this abbreviated NBA season. It's going to be something else. All these teams playing a few three games in a row. Players are going to get tired. That's going to be a reality, and it's going to be a packed schedule. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. It's exciting stuff. I love off seasons in general. I'm a big fan of
hot stove winter meetings.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's a great lead into a season, and it really builds excitement. And that's always one of the good things about the NBA that they do well. There's always big ticket guys available every offseason, because it just seems like if you're on an NBA team, you are available to be traded. It doesn't matter what your status is. I mean, look at this stuff with Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
They dangled Rajon Rondo. You would think that they would never do that. The Celtics, I mean.
Right.
But when there's a guy like Chris Paul available, you make everybody on your team other than, you know, the Celtics wouldn't want to give up Paul Pierce for that.
Or the Lakers wouldn't give up Kobe Bryant.
Not that Paul Pierce is a good asset to trade anymore, but there's only maybe three or four guys, and they're older guys that have been with the franchise forever that are off limits, but everybody else is up for grabs, and that makes for a great offseason, and let the intrigue continue.
Yeah, and you and I as Hawks fans, it looks like destined for another season of the Hawks are like, ironically, look, the guys dressed in navy.
Can I run these down? Listen to these high impact free agency signings, and
Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady, Vladimir Radmanovich, and Jerry Stackhouse.
The Hawks, to me, are like the Continental Army in the Revolutionary War. You just hope that somehow they can pull off a win against someone who's better.
You know,
that's life as a Hawks fan.
Exactly. It's like they're celebrating players that were nice pieces on good teams in the year 2003.
Yeah. Anytime Tracy McGrady, anytime a guy had a good endorsement deal, like a TV commercial 10 years ago in any sport, that's probably a guy you want to avoid. That probably says washed up. Sprite commercials in 2001, they want to avoid.
Yeah, look, if I'm the Hawks, I amnesty Marvin Williams immediately. And I try to do everything in my power to trade for Chris Paul right now. That's what I would do. And I don't care.
All right, well, speaking of amnesty, Cam Newton wants to get out of where he is and said a few interesting things this past week. We're going to cover that next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
If you've got questions, comments, or maybe even some insults, email Zach and James at backseatsports@gmail.com or reach them on Twitter at @backseat_sports.
That's on Twitter at @backseat_sports.
That is on Twitter at @backseat_sports, and you can email us at backseatsports@gmail.com. And one of our ridiculous items this week comes from Cameron Newton, Atlanta native, Auburn University graduate, former Blinn College superstar in between transferring from Florida, current Carolina Panthers starter. I think they stand right now at 4-9, 5-8.
Yeah, no, they're no, not no, going, 4-9.
They're not going to playoffs. No. Let's put it that way. Okay, not going to playoffs.
Nope.
Well, he's frustrated, as a lot of players would be.
Is he?
With playing, you know, for a team who is losing. Mm-hmm. So he decides this week he will tell a reporter, and I quote, "What happens when you take a lion out of the safari and try to take him to your place of residence and make him a house pet? It ain't going to happen. That's the type of person that I am. I'm that lion. The house that I'm in is somewhat of a tarnished house where losing is accepted. But I'm trying to change that, whether I'm going to have to turn that house into a safari." Time out. He thinks a safari is a place.
I just want to know, what is he trying to quote scripture, or what is he talking about, the tarnished house?
You mean you haven't heard the parable of the Jersey number one lion?
I haven't heard
that. You're not familiar with
that? I haven't heard the biblical story about the tarnished house and the safari. No.
Really, the worst part about this is that he thinks a safari is a place.
I know.
I almost fell on my face with this, because I almost said he thinks that the safari is a noun. It is a noun, but it's a noun that refers to an action. A safari is something that you do, you know, you go on a safari.
Right.
It's an expedition. It's
trip.
It's
not a place.
It's like saying your resort is a vacation. Look, let's go back to the vacation. I've had too much sun today. Okay. I think what he means is like the grassland, the savannah.
maybe he just was talking in, you know, like slang, and actually meant that, and just left out a couple
he thinks a safari is a place.
I think he left out a couple key prepositions there, and that's part of the problem that we're having.
Cut him some slack. Yeah. Right. Okay, so let me resume. Quote, "But I'm trying to change that, whether I'm going to have to turn that house into a safari or I'm just going to have to get out of that house." Wow.
Is that a joke? Like, you just got drafted. The team is bad.
Well, look,
you're not exactly
look.
He's good, but he's not like blowing the doors off of people. He's nice for the team to have. Right, he looks promising, but he's not like God's gift to earth.
I like how 2 years ago he was playing for Blinn College in like Division II or III, because, you know, when you transfer, he had to leave Florida because of the stolen laptop, throwing it out the window issue. But
alleged.
So
alleged.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Alleged.
Please.
So, you know, the NCAA has a rule, for those who don't know. If you're going to transfer, you can't play immediately the following season unless you transfer down a division. If you're going to transfer to another Division I school, you have to sit out a year. Well, he didn't want to do that. I mean, who would? So he goes to Blinn College. I don't really have an explanation for that.
I hear they have an excellent program there.
Well, I hear they have a great safari also. Really great guided tours of the Texas desert. It's a good safari there at Blinn.
Is that yeah?
Yeah, and so he. I just think it's funny that 2 years ago he was playing at Blinn, and now he just how quickly the world owes him something.
I want to know if he studied zoology while he was there.
No, clearly not. All right, so then, you know, as we all know, he goes...
Well, we know he didn't study words when he was there. We know that.
Words 101. Words. Yo, I'm a words major. Words.
He needs...
I still haven't finished the quote, so I'm going to have to get out... All right, quote. I'm not saying I'm trying to leave this place.
Oh,
right.
You're
right.
Not, are
no,
you?
That's,
oh, okay. No. We didn't think you were when you said you might have to leave.
Quote. I'm just trying to get everybody on my level. End quote. I'm just trying to get everybody on my level.
Not everyone's as good as you, Cam. That's what I would. He missed a couple key life lessons when he was a child. So I would defer to his mother.
Wait, hold on. Do you mean that his family has ever been involved in something shady?
I'm saying that it seems to me that Cam missed the part of the childhood. Like a couple of the golden rules, like
right. No, yeah, you know, yeah, right,
look,
right.
If you're a gifted individual, you know, you can. Yeah, right. Like,
no,
raise everybody else's level. Just... Like you need everybody to get on your level. Yeah, like maybe they're just not good enough to get on your level, Cam.
Yeah, right? Maybe you should say that instead. No one's good enough to be on my
level. There's obviously some stinkers on that team. It's the same team that just won one game last year. Okay, so.
All right, look, we talked before we went on the air about, and the Tebow talk has gotten overwhelming, so we're not going to delve into that. But we were kind of talking about, like, Tebow personality and Cam Newton personality, because they're both, you know, dual threat, young quarterbacks. Cam has done some great things. I mean, he is just extremely talented. It's almost gross how talented he is.
Yeah.
But we talked about his personality and his dedication, which, look, even that quote kind of questions your dedication to the game.
Well, what did you say? You said that, you were worried that he's having too much fun out there?
He just, all right, look, it's fun to watch him. Nobody would disagree. I mean, come on. You have to just be a complete curmudgeon to not enjoy watching him play.
Right.
He's a great player. He's a great athlete. But he's always smiling, and then he's got this great smile, and so you just kind of get caught up in how fun it is to watch him. But I think we said, you know, the guys that own the team, the guys that coach on that staff, like, these are jobs. Like, this is his job.
Right.
And it's great to love your job, but it's his job, and he's kind of succeeding. But let me put it this way. If he was in a normal job, he would get good performance reviews, but not get a promotion or a raise.
He's like the guy at work that, like, thinks he's doing a really good job, but, like, he's, like, in his own little world. Like, he goes about doing his work, and, like, he does, like, a pretty good job on his work, but, like, the rest of, like, if you work at a retail store and, like, you're really good with the customers and, like, you know, your little area looks good, but, like, the store looks like crap. It gets, like, it gets bad marks, you know?
Listen, he's the guy that comes.
He's the only one that doesn't know it.
He's the guy that comes in at 9:15 every day and leaves at 4:45. Okay,
yeah, I would be worried after you know, you draft him number one overall. You expect to build your franchise around him. He's acting like he isn't getting the whole, like, you're the quarterback of a team. You need to be the leader.
Be a leader, right?
He's not really getting that.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that guy really, like, goes home and really hits the film? Does he look like the kind of guy?
No, and we talked about
that. I'll tell you what he does.
We talked about that because we said after the game, and after a loss, because there's been more losses than wins for Carolina this year. After a loss, we talked about, and again, there's a lot of other players. Tebow wasn't the only. We were comparing him to Tebow, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that after a loss, they go in that locker room and, man, hey, they're inconsolable. They hate to lose.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing that makes them a good leader is they hate to lose. And so... So they probably are really upset. They don't talk to anybody outside their family for 24 hours. Cam probably gets in the locker room, turns that phone back on. Hey, what's up, girl? Okay, uptown? Yeah, no. No, we lost. It's cool. I threw an intercept, threw a couple touchdowns. It's whatever. You know, and just, it's ready to get out of there.
Yeah,
and it's just,
no.
It's, you know, he's making money. He's got money in the bank. He's a pro football player. And he's just having fun.
When he is at home, like, Ron Rivera is probably like, Cam, here's all these rolls of tape. I need you to go study them. We're playing the Bears this week. It's an important game. They have a tough D. They have a great pass D. Just study some of their tendencies, their coverages. I know what he does.
And you know what the voice in his head says? I'm 6'6", 250. That's all he thinks.
I'll just run it in if I can't pass it. Right,
right,
coach? No,
right.
This is what he does. He goes home. He gets his Captain Crunch. He pours a big old bowl of Captain Crunch. He puts in the game film, right? He turns it on. 2 seconds. This is boring. Puts in the Superman cartoon and starts watching that.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you think he gets that from?
Yeah, I wish him the best. I do like him. I do like him. And
me too.
I don't. Well, right. Look, that's the, hey, that's it the, sounds like we both.
Look, that's the great thing about not being an athlete and just getting to talk about other people. You can just like say whatever you want, basically.
Yeah. Well, I do like him. I do wish him the best because he's fun to watch.
I want him to be good.
He's very entertaining.
Right.
At some point, I want him to not say things like because quite frankly, that's not leader talk. It's nowhere close. It's the opposite of leader talk.
Well, yeah.
So I hope at some point he just grows up on the being a representative.
Right.
You know, representative of his team.
Well, you know what it is?
In that sense.
There's too many guys. Like, I don't want another guy, man, that you're just like waiting for him to say the next like stupid thing. You know, I don't want him to be one of those guys.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like where you're waiting for him to implode. And say something stupid,
right.
You know, whether it's before a big game or just about his team or about his coach. We don't need any more of those guys. The NFL needs like what the NBA now has, which is a lot of good, young, talented superstars.
I'm not predicting that he will ever have like a post-game press conference, like meltdown or tantrum. But if he did, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not talking Terrell Owens, you know, crying. I'm just saying one of those games where like, and it may get worse as his team is more competitive. You know, he might actually start to really hate the losing. Then I'm just saying I wouldn't be shocked if he gave a post game press conference, whether it's at the podium or in the locker room, where he just kind of started complaining, kind of started blaming things on.
Yeah,
you know,
I can see it.
Yeah, so he.
Although I don't know if he cares enough to even do that.
Well, hey, and that's a different problem altogether.
Because I think he's one of those guys that as long as he plays well. Like, he's a little bit disconnected in the fact that as long as he plays well, he feels like he did everything that he could do. His team's kind of bad or wasn't good enough to, like, get the job done that day.
Right.
And it's whatever, you know. It's just a game. I'm having fun. I'm good. Whatever.
Right.
You know?
All right. Well, and look, something else we wanted to tackle now that we've...
Wait, is this... What do you... Because I have something... I have a story here. All right. And
okay,
I was... Let's go with this because it's NFL.
Yeah, please tell me a story.
All right. So...
Story time.
I'm reading my usual links this week.
Sure.
You know, everything I read. And I come across this headline from Yahoo Sports. Eagles fans made fiancé of Eagles rookie cry. Come on, dudes. No. I'm over here defending you people. And then you go and you make... And the rookie they're talking about is Casey Matthews, who's had a rough year. It's Clay Matthews' brother.
Oh, okay, right.
And he started at linebacker, which was probably against Andy Reid's and Juan Castillo's better judgment, and that's part of the reason why they're in the hole that they are in, is that they made some poor decisions when it comes to that defense. And the quote is, "They harassed them and made my fiance cry. It's tough. It's frustrating. That's how they are here. If you win, they love you. So I guess we've just got to turn things around and start winning again."
Yeah.
Well,
I think he needs to be a little bit angrier. About that.
What else are you going to say? Because look,
he's almost borderline defending the fans.
Well, it's because that's like, have you ever heard of groupthink?
I don't think
it's so. Like you're so far in it that like you can't like you have to say that. What else
or
is he gonna say? Is he gonna be like those b-holes?
No, or
then they're gonna be like even worse.
And the backstory may have been, you know, there may have been a time even in the preseason where he may have said, "Hey, sweetie, don't come to my games."
Well,
why?
No.
Because because the fans
they were
are
wearing
rough.
His jersey. That's like putting a target on your back. I'm sorry, it is. Like, first of all, it's a Casey Matthews jersey. So if you're wearing one, you're a member of his family.
Right, and it's probably like an authentic road jersey. Right. Like, it's his.
Yeah, it's game worn. It had a grass stain on it.
It stands out a little
too
much.
Three sizes too big for you.
Yeah, we've in our young life as podcasters, we've talked about Philly fans a little bit. We had the Flyers booing the cancer PSA. Incident back in episode 1 or 2. So, you know, hey, Philadelphia, class of the sports fan universe. And ironically, that brings us to our next subject. The Philadelphia 76ers, clearly the top of the totem pole as far as fan passion in Philadelphia. If there's one thing that the Philadelphia people care about, it's the Sixers, right? The Eagles, Flyers, and Phillies, that's just those are just sideshows to the Sixers.
You want to talk about a tough crowd? Sixers game.
Yeah. All right. Listen. The Sixers have a new owner, right? Right. They've got a new owner.
Yes. His quote is, he knows how bad Sixers fans want to win. Is there a common theme here?
No, listen. That should have been a Mad Libs. He knows how bad Sixers fans fill in the blank.
Because they heckled his fiance.
Right. Okay. So, they want to elect with the help of Sixers fans. And we're going to try to enlist our listeners to pull some weight on this election. Okay. A new mascot for the Sixers. Now, our choices are Franklin Dog. Okay, an obsession with Ben Franklin and all these mascot choices. Okay, so this looks like McGruff, the crime dog, wearing Uncle Sam gear.
Yeah, and actually what I'll do, I'll put a link to this on Twitter and Facebook.
All right, so this is basically, imagine a cross between Clifford the Big Red Dog and McGruff the Crime Dog wearing Uncle Sam gear and holding his hand out basically saying, hey, look at me, I am a dog and I can stand on 2 feet. And he's holding the basketball and he's got the Sixers uniform. It's really cartoony. The other one is Phil E. Moose. Get it, Philly? Phil E. Moose.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, well... All right. He looks like Bullwinkle was the moose, right? Or was that?
Yes.
Okay. He looks like Bullwinkle from Rocky and Bullwinkle. He's kind of showing us the booty. He's kind of turned around in this picture, and he's got a big, huge, drunk Family Guy smile.
He's creeping me out because he's wearing a robe.
Okay. So it should have been Moose Hefner, the next Sixers mascot. Now, he looks, what do they say? Three sheets to the wind. He's a moose that has been sitting on the pipeline up there.
I can see him saying right there, let's hit the showers.
All right. James is gone.
I'm crying.
He's falling out. It's
not appropriate.
Tully's in the studio. I don't know if we've mentioned that yet.
Turn his mic on.
Okay. Tully, you've seen Phil E. Moose, right? You're getting a good look at him?
I am. I'm looking here on James's screen here. I like the Ben Franklin looking one. That's
well,
great.
Look, his name's Big Ben, which is kind of dumb because there's already a Big Ben across the state.
Well, look.
Bad move.
Can I just say something?
Is that a lampshade on the top of that dog's head?
Yeah.
In the middle? Wait, what is that?
That's an Uncle Sam hat.
It's a cracked Liberty Bell.
Oh.
Oh, wait, you're looking at something else.
No, you're talking about B-Dog.
No, you're right. I saw the picture of him wearing the Liberty Bell, which is terrible for your neck. All right? Yeah, don't wear the Liberty Bell as a hat.
Let me just say something here.
Okay.
Either of these three is an upgrade from the Harley Davidson bunny rabbit that they have. Looks like the biker rabbit.
So this is like the vroom vroom Easter bunny?
I don't know what they were going for with that thing, but it is time to move on from that, and I'm glad that somebody in the Sixers organization recognized that, because that thing was embarrassing.
Okay. Well, no matter which one they pick, it's just not going to top the Philly Fanatic.
You shouldn't even try.
No, they don't try.
I was going to say they should go in that direction.
All right, well, we've looked at B. Franklin Dog, the McGruff Uncle Sam hybrid, and then Phil E. Moose, the Hugh Hefner Bullwinkle.
He is wearing a robe, dude.
He's wearing a robe.
Maybe.
I wouldn't let that thing near my children if I had them.
Maybe like when the Flyers wore the pants.
The state of Pennsylvania does not need any more
creepy figures.
I'm just saying, with the robe.
It can't handle
Ben Roethlisberger.
They're at their limit. Between Ben Roethlisberger, Penn State, and
it's just not good.
Phil E. Moose. I voted in
that's
this.
That's the terrible trifecta.
I voted in this.
Listen, Big Ben, he's the third choice.
I voted for Big Ben.
Okay, this is Ben Franklin, complete with portly midsection. Holding a basketball and wearing some, Harlem Globetrotter socks with Ronald McDonald shoes. That's basically what we've got there. So, Ben Franklin, Ronald McDonald, Jerry Sandusky, Bullwinkle Moose, and McGruff Clifford,
Uncle Sam. You just went there.
Look at that smile in that robe.
Which one do you guys like?
I voted for the moose because I wanted to see it in real life. Because you get to bring any of these that you want, to life. So, you voted for Ben?
Yeah.
Tully?
Yeah, I would vote for Ben.
I think, I talked to my brothers, and they voted for Ben.
All right, look, we're gonna put it up on the block.
Cross your fingers.
Okay. Backseat Sports Podcast.
And by the way, the current mascot's name is Hip Hop.
Is it really?
Yes, right. It is really.
All right, well. Okay.
Look at this stupid thing. I have a picture of this thing.
Of Hip Hop.
Yeah, so it looks like it's about to commit a crime.
That's not a 7 or a 6er. What the hell is
it? It looks like it's about to go commit a crime. It's got gloves on and everything.
Do they fit?
A bandana.
And a bandana. And sunglasses.
He's about to rob a bank. There's many of them in Philadelphia.
I think I saw him in Occupy Wall Street on the news.
Is it a person or is it like a cartoon animal?
That's why they have to get a new mascot, is because he's part of Occupy Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, they're all cartoon animals about the Occupy event. Okay. All right, look, we're going to put it up on our blog, backseatsportspodcast.blogspot.com.
No, I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah, I'm just going to put it right on Twitter, because it's easier for people to find.
No, look, you're going to tweet it, you're going to Facebook it, you're going to blogspot it, you're going to dig it, you're going to MySpace.
Okay. Well, we don't have MySpace.
No, we don't. Okay, because
we can get one, though.
No, we could. All right, that's going to be on Twitter.
You know what else we have to do? We have to get some really cool promo shots.
That sounds like an iPhone ringtone.
It is. Sorry.
How dare you? Yeah. We're in studio.
I'm sorry.
It's going to be on the blog, backseatsportspodcast.blogspot.com, @backseat_sports on Twitter. And you can also email us backseatsports@gmail.com. Do I have that right? backseatsports@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. Tully was in studio with us. Thanks again, Tully.
Every day.
Let us know who you're going to vote for the Philadelphia 76ers mascot, and let us know if you think Cam Newton should get out of that safari in Charlotte. See you next week.